Please be seated. Let us pray. God of hope, we gather together in your presence in the midst of a world that is often troubled and anxious. Although the darkness is powerful, open our eyes, Lord, to the light of your love. Give us faith to stand against voices of division and doubt, and help us to listen to your still small voice of grace and hope. Merciful God, we confess that too often we take your creation for granted. We squander your gifts as if we made them ourselves. We ignore our responsibility to care for the earth and all its people. Greed and pride take over our desires, so we consume whatever we want, selfishly and carelessly. Forgive us, we pray, O God. Shine your light on us so we see your ways more clearly and follow the path that Jesus sets before us. Amidst the darkness of all our mistakes, you shine a redeeming light. In your Son Jesus, we are forgiven, restored, and made new. In his love, we can make a fresh start today, following his way. We pray all this in the name of your Son, who taught us to pray together, saying, Our Father. Our children's hymn this morning is, Give Me Oil in My Lamp. Seated. So we come to the time in our service where we will celebrate the sacrament of baptism. If there are any kids here, you are welcome to come and sit in the front row if you'd like, then you can see better. If you want to come on up and do that. And then after the baptism, you guys will head down to church school. So if you'd like to come and get a closer look, you're welcome to do that. And at this time, I'll invite Angela and Pedro and Logan to come forward. Hi, Logan. He just watches everything, don't you? I know. You like being here. We've gotten to know him in the last few months, and you come up for Children's Story, and you haven't said much yet. But he's always paying attention, and probably wondering what I'm talking about. Baptism is a gift from God. In baptism, God acts to unite us to Christ and calls us into a life of growth and service. In the sacrament of baptism, the church recognizes God's covenant of grace. We receive God's gift with joy and respond in faith and discipleship. As a community of believers, I invite you to read together now a section of our denomination's statement of faith, reading together about baptism. Together we'll read, "Baptism is a sign and seal of our union with Christ and with his church. Through it, we share in the death and resurrection of Christ and are commissioned to his service. In baptism, water is administered in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. The water signifies the washing away of sin, the start of new life in Christ, and the gift of the Holy Spirit. By the power of the Holy Spirit, God acts through baptism. It is the sacrament not of what we do, but of what God has done for us in Christ. God's grace and our response to it are not tied to the moment of baptism, but continue and deepen through life. It is a sacrament meant for those who profess their faith and for their children. Together, we are the family of God. By the waters of baptism and the power of the Holy Spirit, God claims us and calls us one by name. God unites us to Christ in his death and resurrection and grafts us into the body of Christ as covenant members of the church. God empowers us to live in newness of life as the people of the Word and invites us to be renewed at the Lord's table until we feast with him in glory. By grace we have been saved through faith. This is not our own doing, but it is a gift of God. Remember your own baptism and give thanks." Who comes to receive the sacrament of baptism?
On behalf of the session, I would present Logan, child of Angela and Pedro.
Angela and Pedro, in presenting Logan for baptism, you announce your faith in Jesus Christ and show that you want him to know him and serve him. And so I ask you the following questions. Do you renounce the ways of sin, and do you believe and accept Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior?
Yes.
Do you wish your child to be baptized in his name?
Yes.
Is it your intention to provide an environment for your child in which he will increasingly come to know of God's grace and love in Jesus Christ, and do you promise to further his family ties with the church, the family of God? Let us pray. We give you thanks, O gracious God, for the gifts of water and your Spirit. In the beginning, when your Spirit moved over the waters, you gave order and life to your planet Earth. In the time of Moses, you led your people out of slavery through the waters of the sea. In the fullness of time, you sent Jesus, who was formed in the water of a woman's womb. In the waters of Jordan, Jesus was baptized and anointed by your Holy Spirit. Gracious God, by the gift of water and your Spirit, you sustain all life. Pour out your Spirit upon this child so that he may be empowered to do your will and be a servant of Christ. We ask that you bless Angela and Pedro in their journey as parents. May they know your love and pass it on to this precious child. Pour out your Spirit upon all those gathered today so that all might experience your transforming power of love through the sacrament of baptism. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. So because I am a little germy today, I'm going to let Pedro continue to hold Logan as I baptize him. Logan, child of the covenant, I baptize you in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. May the Spirit of God dwell in you now and forevermore. Amen. Did you like that? Now, Pedro and Logan and I are going to take a walk as we introduce him to all of you. Logan, these are your brothers and sisters in Christ. Brothers and sisters in Christ, this is Logan. You see how he's watching everything. Logan, your brothers and sisters in Christ. Brothers and sisters, this is Logan. We can walk back. Brothers and sisters in Christ, this is Logan. And Logan, have a look at all your brothers and sisters in Christ. Your family just grew so much bigger. And we're so happy that you're here.
I always thought I was loud, but I guess I'm not that loud. But on behalf of the congregation, we would like to give you your certificate of baptism and also a beautiful Bible that you'll be able to read to Logan. And there's lovely pictures, so Logan will really enjoy them. Mm-hmm. And we welcome you to our family.
Thank you so much.
You're welcome, Angela.
And I will invite Kate and Sam to come forward, who are representing our church school.
We gotta get organized. On behalf of the Sunday School, we wanted to welcome you and give you this faith box. And there's also a blanket. Am I not on?
Okay. I'm gonna start again. All right. We're still getting organized. On behalf of the Sunday School, we wanted to welcome you and give you this faith box and this blanket. And in the faith box, you can keep whatever you like. But what my family used it for was that we kept our Bible storybooks in it and any special crafts that the kids made at the church and stuff that we could look at to remember what we learned here. So hopefully it will actually be empty because all your stuff will be spread out all over the house and you'll be reading your Bible. So we're so happy to have you here.
Mm-hmm. Thank you. So well, welcome. So you guys can take your seats and let's give them a... And I'll invite the children who would like to go downstairs for church school to head out the back door there with Sam. And we will sing our song of preparation together as we prepare to hear the word of God.
Our lesson this morning is from the book of Matthew,
Chapter 5, verses 10 to 20. Yeah, 13 to 20. 10, who cares? It's titled, and you can see it up on the screen, it's titled Salt and Light. You are the salt of the earth, but if salt has lost its taste, how can its saltiness be restored? It is no longer good for anything but is thrown out and trampled underfoot. You are the light of the world. A city built on a hill cannot be hid. No one, after lighting a lamp, puts it under a bushel basket, but on the lampstand it gives light to all in the house. In the same way, let your light shine before others, so that they may see your good works and give glory to your Father in heaven. Do not think that I have come to abolish the law or the prophets. I have come not to abolish, but to fulfill. For truly I tell you, until heaven and earth pass away, not one letter, not one stroke of a letter will pass from the law until it is all accomplished. Therefore, whoever breaks one of the least of these commandments and teaches others to do the same will be called least in the kingdom of heaven. But whoever does them and teaches them will be called great in the kingdom of heaven. For I tell you, unless your righteousness exceeds that of the scribes and Pharisees, you will never, ever enter the kingdom of heaven. These are the words of the Lord.
Let us pray. Holy God, your mysteries surround us and astound us each day. Send your Holy Spirit upon us now so that we would discover your wisdom as we hear the scriptures read and proclaimed. Amen. In the book, Salt, A World History, the author tells the entire known story of salt. He says salt is so common, so easy to obtain, so inexpensive that we have forgotten that from the beginning of civilization until about 100 years ago, salt was one of the most sought-after commodities in human history. For thousands of years, salt represented wealth. In the ancient world, salt was among the first products ever traded, and in some places, it was a major political factor. The city of Rome was founded where it was because of its close proximity to the salt works of the day. And the first great Roman road was the Via Salaria, the Way of Salt, or the Salt Road. Roman soldiers were sometimes paid in salt, and a commander might ask if a soldier was worth his salt. Our word salary comes from the Latin word for salt. Human beings cannot live without salt. Just like water and food, salt helps to body helps our body regulate, and it's essential for cardiovascular function and digestion. Salt has been a part of religious customs for nearly every known religion. It was an acceptable offering for the Greek gods. It was part of the ancient Egyptian burial rites. Think of mummies. To the Hebrew people, salt is a symbol of the covenant with God. In Islam, salt seals a bargain. In Christianity, salt is used in Roman Catholic holy water, and it's associated with wisdom and truth and witness. Salt is and has been essential to our lives. And light is the same. There was also a book called Fire, A Brief History, and that book reminds us that fire changed everything for human beings. When humans harnessed fire, it was a revolution for us and the planet. Behind all our technology, if you track it back, you will find fire. In the ancient world, fire was everywhere. Cooking and heating and cleaning and safety and warfare and community living and religion. And most importantly, the use of fire brought light in the darkest nights and in the darkest places. Think of all the uses of light in our everyday lives today. In our homes, in our cars, our phones, in stores and roadways. Light from the sun gives energy needed for the earth to flourish and for us is a source of power. Studies have been done that show that the lack of light in the winter months can affect our mental health. Most of us can't get through a single day without some kind of light. And Jesus used these two images, salt and light, to describe his followers. He said, "You are the salt of the earth and the light of the world." And when he said you, he meant us, all of us. Jesus was talking about the community of believers, his disciples who would become the church. For us today, we are the church and the people. As people, we are called out to reach out to the world as salt and light. Jesus used these images of salt and light to kindle our imaginations about how to live in the world, how to share the good news of God's kingdom, how to change what might need to be changed, how to make the world a better place. How can we be salt and light to bring about the vision of the world that God wants? Salt brings out flavor, and it stops things from rotting. So maybe we can bring out the best in the world. Maybe we can stop the things that make our world rotten, things like racism and injustice or violence. Light brings warmth and guides us when it's dark. And maybe we can be that kind of light in a world that often feels so consumed by the darkness of greed and hate and hopelessness. The truth is, if we are not salt and light, we are not being who we are called to be. Jesus said, "But if salt has lost its taste, how can its saltiness be restored? It's no longer good for anything but is thrown out and trampled underfoot. No one, after lighting a lamp, puts it under a bushel basket, but on a lampstand, and it gives light to all in the house." Now, right after that message about salt and light, Jesus continued with a lesson about the law. Jesus said, "Do not think I have come to abolish the law. I have not come to abolish the law, but to fulfill it." Now, the law was given to the people of God in the Bible. It was meant to guide the community of faith and how to live together. But it had turned into something that excluded rather than included people. It should have protected the most vulnerable, but instead it became impossible for the people to follow every single rule. Now, much of the law is found in the Old Testament, but the Pharisees, who were the keepers of the law, had developed a complex oral tradition of rules for living, an oral teaching that was passed down from generation to generation. And it was all about keeping the law perfectly, and it was a pretty tight system. In their attempt to be faithful, and they were trying to be faithful, the Pharisees' interpretation became the only valid interpretation. They actively and even violently opposed any other teachings. They kept tabs on who was with them and who was against them. They spent much of their energy creating an in-group and an out-group. And the problem was that with their strict adherence to the law, it kept many people out, especially the poor. Most people just didn't have the resources, the time, or the money, or the ability to follow the letter of every single law. The goal was so high that nobody could get there. So Jesus came to reinterpret the law, not to get rid of it, but to change the way that people observed it. Jesus changed it from a system of retaliation for not following every single rule to a guide for healthy living based in grace and love. He meant for people to be free from the burden of rules and regulations so that they could be who God had called them to be, salt and light. Jesus' message was that the rules for living were never meant to be a way to get God to love us or forgive us, because God's love is always free. We can never earn it. The law was meant to shape the followers of God into a distinct kind of people. The law was meant to form their character into a particular way so that they would reflect the image of God. Now, none of that means that we drop all accountability to the rules for living or disregard all laws. The Jesus way says everything that we do shapes us. And there are ways that we are free to live that are not healthy and that are not life-giving, and there needs to be guidelines. Think about the parent of a child. When you are parenting a child and you don't let them get away with anything, it's all rules and no grace. That child will experience harshness, but not love. When you let them get away with everything, there's no boundaries, no rules, no consequences. It's all grace and no structure. The child will experience abandonment and not love. Neither of those children will see their parent as a loving parent. They will either experience harshness or abandonment, but they won't experience love. God is the way of love, and God's way is a balance between responsibility and grace. Jesus basically says, you're going to have to do better than the Pharisees with their extreme adherence, but this isn't a free-for-all. I didn't come to abolish the law, but you need to take your faith seriously. Jesus didn't want to get rid of the law, but wanted to allow the law to do what it was supposed to do, to help us transform from the inside out, to help us to live together in community, and to live and share grace and love. When we use the rules for living to lift up and honor each person rather than bring them down, only then can we be salt and light to the world. But I wonder, how are our expectations of the rules today, how do they get in the way of us being salt and light to the world? Conveniently, we always think of ourselves as being in the in-group, and those we dislike are in the out-group. And whether we admit it or not, we become wrapped up in our own group, protecting it against others. Sometimes we can only think in terms of black and white and in and out, or with us or against us, or we're right and you're wrong. When we think only in terms of uniformity and control and our right way, there's no room for grace and love. And we might be at risk, like the Pharisees with their strict rules, from stopping others and ourselves from being who God wants us to be. People of grace and love. People who are salt and light to the world. So what does it mean to be salt and light in our everyday lives? How can we as the church be salt and light to the world? I think it will take some creative thinking, maybe some risk, to really live up to who God says we are and who Jesus called us to be. Because being salt and light ironically means upholding the laws of justice and rules of fairness. Being salt and light means positioning ourselves on the side of the oppressed and the forgotten. Being salt and light means not staying silent when the powerful abuse their power. Being salt and light means recognizing our privilege and speaking up for the out-group. Being the salt of the earth is about being the ones who bring out the great and wonderful things of God's kingdom. Being light is about being the ones carrying the torch, walking alongside people in darkness and being examples of God's mercy. When we are the salt of the earth, we use our lives to make a difference. When we are the light of the world, we shine the love of God in the darkest places. And it's when we are salt and light that we actually become the righteous followers of God's laws of grace and love. Thanks be to God. Amen. We will sing again together, O God of light, may our light shine. Please be seated. A warm welcome again to you this morning. I'm so glad that you're worshiping with us. A special welcome to all our guests who are here for the baptism. Everyone is invited after the service to head downstairs for a time of fellowship and refreshments. I want to share some sad news with you this week of the death of Kay Lowe. Kay and her husband Earl live at Kingsmere, thank you, just down the road. They had been attending church up to a few years ago. She was 95, and I believe he's 98. So the funeral will be here at the church on February 20th, and we will send out an email to the congregation with the details of that. But I just ask that you lift up that family in prayer. Also, a reminder again about the Knox Knee Knockers. So I'm doing a little self-promotion because I signed up myself this week. So I signed up to do the 10K. So on February 22nd, there'll be a group of us who will be walking in the evening on the coldest night of the year. It's something that happens all across Canada. And in each community, they support a different charity. And so here in Alliston, we are supporting the Out of the Cold program, which unfortunately is needed badly. And so you can go online to sponsor your favorite walker. I don't know who that might be. And then it's also in the bulletin other ways that you can sponsor people. So, your favorite team. I didn't mean myself. So make sure when you do sponsor, you go on the Knox Knee Knockers. If you choose to pick Lisa, that's fine, but whatever. So please do that. And we have one more week or so before we will be, almost 2 weeks before we're walking. So, so it'll be a great time and a great evening. We respond to God's call by sharing what we have been blessed with. Our offerings will now be received. Generous God, we offer our gifts today, trusting that the Holy Spirit will bless them to make the world a brighter place for all who face darkness. Bless our lives, too, that our words and actions will spread your love and mercy. Amen. Let us come before God in prayer. Let us pray. God of justice and righteousness, we thank you for the gift of your Son, Jesus Christ, who came to live out your love in this world. We thank you for the wisdom in his words and deeds, which continue to guide us today. Jesus called us to be light for the world, and so we pray for your world. We pray for those who need your justice, for those who sleep on the cold streets, those who do not have enough to eat, and those who have lost their homes in violence or natural disaster. We pray for refugees and political prisoners, for children who must work instead of going to school, and for their parents who long to give their children a better life. Fill each one with your hope that each day will take a step closer to needs fulfilled and rights restored. We pray for all, O Lord, who need your healing touch, for people who are confused or afraid, for those in hospitals and nursing homes, and for all who are dealing with long-term disability or mental illness. We pray for our own families and for families in our community who face conflict, where relationships are strained or broken. We especially remember today those facing fear, confusion, and illness in the face of the coronavirus. Send your healing spirit where it is needed, O God. We pray for those who have encountered loss through the death of a loved one, through change in circumstances or disappointed hopes. Surround each one with your peace and comfort so that that hope will be renewed each day. Compassionate God, we ask that our prayers would be more than just simple words. Make us salt and light for the world, as compassionate and caring neighbors, unafraid to reach out. Strengthen us to engage with those we know who suffer in body, mind, and spirit. There are many on this day known to us who are facing particular challenges and struggles, and in a moment of quiet reflection, we lift them up to you. Lord, hear our prayers. Almighty God, encourage us with your grace, inspire us by your Holy Spirit, and help us to always know that you are with us. We pray all this in the name of our Savior, Christ the Lord. Amen. Our final hymn this morning is Let There Be Light. Go forth today and remember you all are the salt and the light of the world. And may the love of God, the peace of Christ, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with each and every one of you, now and forevermore. Amen.